let's begin. We're going to discuss something relating to Daf Lamed Dalet, yesterday's Daf. Yesterday's Daf begins the discussion of Bein Hashmoshes. I want to present to you a few short ideas relating to the inyan of Bein Hashmoshes. It's an extremely complex sugya. There are many dimensions and facets relating to Bein Hashmoshes. First of all, let's discuss something very simple. What is the literal translation of the words between the Shemoshos? Shemoshos, Shemoshos. What do these two words mean? What does
the sun.
Between the suns. So what does that mean, between the suns? We know, the average person, when you throw at him the word, the term, Bein Hashmoshos, he thinks in between sunset and, say, Sakharavim, the sun, the ball of the sun goes beneath the horizon, beneath the surface of the earth. It's the light, doesn't get dark right away. It takes some time. It takes 40 minutes, 50 minutes, 72 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, depending on where you live, what part of the world you live in, 20 minutes until it gets dark. That period of time is what we commonly refer to as Bein Hashmoshes. It's not so similar because, you know, we know there are many opinions in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra. We're not getting into all that right now, but just the simple translation of these two words. So I came across in the Sefer Daf Al Adaf three very simple translations to give us more of a handle on this term. Number one, we simply assume or commonly translate the word Shemesh as the sun. That's not necessarily correct. Shemesh refers to a shamash. Coming up Chanukah, we have the shamash. A shul has a shamash, sexton. We have the shemesh, we refer to it as the ball of sun that produces light. But in Chazal, everything I'm going to tell you today is just very, very vague, Russia Prakim, because I don't have all the details, but there are sources that the moon is also called a shemesh. The moon is also a servant. The sun is the servant of Hashem during the day, and the moon is the servant of Hashem in the evening. The moon serves a very important function in the evening. We don't realize we live in the city where we have technology, we have lights, and we have all these different things. But in the nighttime, the way a person can know what time it is at night is looking at the moon. If we did not have electricity, we would be experts in looking at the sky, and we can figure out, based upon where the moon is, the size of the moon, and where the moon is, what time of the year it is, what time of the evening it is, what time of the month it is. Just looking at the moon provides a human with an enormous amount of information about where he is and what's going on in this world. So the moon is Hashem's servant, Shamash, at night. The sun, what we call the sun, is Hashem's servant of the day. There's the Shemesh Shel Yoim and the Shemesh Shel Laila. Bein Hashmoshos is the time between the two suns, the two Shamoshim. When it's day, the sun is in control. The sun has Shlita. When it's evening, what we call night, the moon has Shlita. When the sun sets, the sun is gone. But it's the light outside. The rays of the sun still radiate. The moon does not yet have shlita, have control. When the stars come out, it gets fully dark and you can see the stars, then it's certain that who's in charge? Who is the boss? The boss is the moon. The Shemesh Shalila is in control. In between the setting of the sun and the Tzeis HaKochavim, we are in between the two Shamoshim. We are Bein Hashmoshes. We are in between the two suns, the sun of the day, the sun of the night. It's not clear at this moment in time who is in control. That's one mahalach why it's called Bein Hashmoshes. Okay, another mahalach. We call the Shemesh the sun. In the Chazal, and this really has source in Psukim, the Shemesh is another word, is a synonym for the calendar day. The day. When does the day begin? Nighttime. When does the day end? When the sun goes down. When we're in that period between the setting of the sun and when the stars come out, we are in between two calendar days. So being that the Shemesh is a term that is synonymous with Yom, with the calendar day, when the sun, from the time when the sun sets until the stars come out, we are Bein Hashmoshes. We are between two days, the previous day and the next day. So in this interpretation, Shemesh refers to the calendar day, not necessarily the sun or the moon, but the calendar day. A third explanation of why the meaning of Bein Hashmoshes, that's really, it's based upon a Gra. The Gra says that there's a double Shkia. There are two Shkias. There's when the ball of the sun sets, and then it takes time. It takes another 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, until the rays, the influence of the sun that has previously set, goes away. It descends even further and recedes, and the stars come out. So there's really a double setting of the sun. There is the physical setting of the sun when the sun goes below the horizon, but the influence remains. And then there is another setting when the remaining rays of influence of the sun, a second there, also sets, and now it's completely dark. That's why it's called Bein Hashmoshes. In this interpretation, the word Shemesh means literally the sun. And the sun indeed sets twice. It sets when it goes down below the horizon, and it sets again when its rays influence goes away. So during this twilight period, we are between the two settings of the sun. So Sach HaKol, it's a very simple term. It's a term that we use now in vocabulary. We use it all the time. Bein Hashmoshes. In order to understand the term, there are three possible translations for the word Shemesh. In the third interpretation, it literally means the sun. And there's two settings of the sun. The second interpretation, Shemesh is synonymous with the day, the halachic day, and we are in between two calendar days. During this twilight period, it's hard to define. Is it the previous day? Is it the next day? We are Bein Hashmoshes. And in the first interpretation, the word Shemesh means the servant. There's a Shemesh Shel Yoim and a Shemesh Shel Laila. The Shemesh Shel Yoim is Sholet by day, the Shemesh Shel Laila is Sholet at night, and Bein Hashmoshes is that time in between these two periods. Okay, so the two, three mahalachim to explain the full meaning of these words. Now I want to go to another idea. This idea is a very deep idea. I'm just going to throw it out. I don't have the details, something to think about. It appears that this is only true according to the Yerushalmi. It's not necessarily true according to the Bavli. Now let's take a step back. When we refer to Bein Hashmoshes, we think, we really relate two concepts to this term of twilight. Number one, is it day or is it night? There are certain things in the Torah that can only be done by day. For example, a korban. You're only allowed to sprinkle the blood of the korban when it's day. Biyom tzavoso. The Gemara is a drasha. Biyom, by day that I commanded you to offer a korban. You can't sprinkle blood on the mizbeach if it's not the halachic day. Then there are things that only can be done at night. That's a kriyashma. Yeah. Well, kriyashma really depends on waking up, going to sleep, so it's not necessarily tied to a day and night. But there are things in halacha that only can be done by day and not night. And tzitzis. There is re'isim or seminatari, only chayv in tzitzis by day. You're not chayv to wear tzitzis at night because of re'isim also. Some learn that it depends on ksus yom, ksus laila. Again, in the world of halacha, there are things that must be done by day, and there are things in halacha that must be done at night. Then there's another issue. Calendar date. Is it the third day of Cheshvan? Is it the fourth day of Cheshvan? Is it the 10th day of Kislev? Is it the 11th day of Kislev? What day on the calendar are we? Where are we holding? Now, if we ask the average person, they will tell you, you cannot separate one from the other. Being that it is a fact in halacha, the day begins with night, vayihi erev, vayihi voker, the calendar day begins when it gets dark. These two concepts are interrelated. If it's halachic laila, those things that are required to be done at night, when you reach that moment in time that it's called laila, that is when the new calendar day begins. If it's halachically yom, then we are still part of the previous calendar day. That is what I think is extremely common and very simple, and that's probably true according to the Bali. But according to the Yerushalmi, there's a Gemara in Yerushalmi, we're not going to go into details, which indicates that the two are not related. It's an incredible, it's a fascinating concept which shatters everything that we're familiar with from the concept of Bein HaShemashos, which basically means that it's very possible that there's a certain period of time during the day, twilight period, where it's 100% considered Yom. It's halachic day. And any area of halacha that requires day, you have fulfilled its requirement. If you're bringing a carbon, and a carbon, the blood must be sprinkled by day, you are still at a time of day, and you can sprinkle the blood upon the Mizbeach. But as far as the calendar is concerned, you've already transferred, switched to the next calendar day. Let me give you an afkamina. What do we have such a concept? Bris Milah. Bris Milah must be done on the 8th calendar day from the time the child is born, by Yom HaShmini. Bris Milah, it's done by day, but if it's done at night, it's not. Bris Milah must be done on the 8th calendar day. There's no chiyuv to do a Bris Milah until the child reaches the 8th calendar day. But Bris Milah also needs to be done by day. So here you have Hechatimsa, where you can where it's twilight, right? Let's say the child is born Bein HaShemashos last week. The child is born in between the setting of the sun and Seis HaKochavim. Now it is exactly 8 24-hour periods later, or approximately 8 24-hour periods later, can you do the Bris Milah? So on the one hand, you only can do the Bris Milah when it's halachic day. Bris Milah is one of those things that we do by day. We don't do Bris Milah at night. But Bris Milah also, it has to be done on the 8th calendar day. So here you could have a situation where it's day, it's halachically day, but it's already the 8th calendar day since the child was born. Now you'll tell me that can't possibly be, because if it's still day, then it's only 7. I'm getting confused. It's something which is more, it's theoretical. Let me give you another example. Let me give you the carbonos. Carbonos can, our carbon can only be brought by day. But you could have a situation where it's already the next day, the next calendar day, but it's still called halachic day, where you're going to do... I'm getting confused, that's why I don't tell you. It's a raw concept.
It confuses because you have that limitation. It has to be done daytime.
Right.
And that's where...
But you also have another concept. There are certain areas of halacha. I don't have a good example to bring out there. The two examples are carbon and bris milah, but I don't know enough of the details in order to give you an afkamina halacha. The point I want to throw out, this is an idea which is discussed by many mefarshim, a lot of the achronim, is we are brainwashed to believe that there are two concepts. There is halachic day and halachic night. Then there's a concept of calendar date, when the calendar day changes, when there's a shift from it's Vav Cheshvan, now it's Zayin Cheshvan. There's a shift. We assume it's totally Zeh B'Zeh. And if it's still halachic day, we're part of Vav. When it becomes halachic night, it now becomes Zayin. It's not necessarily true. Bein HaShemashos is such a complex kuf in time, where it's possible that you can break up Bein HaShemashos into two different worlds. Bein HaShemashos can very well be halachic day, but you've already, the calendar has already changed. It's already considered that you're part of the next calendar day. So what is then really a day? This is what it comes out. How do you define Ayer Vayivoker? You know what a day is? The cycle of a day? The cycle of a day is, it's light, it gets dark, and then it gets light again for about 12 hours. We think of a day, a cycle of a day, is two parts. Night and day. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Voker. There is darkness, and then there is light. Not so. You know what a calendar day is? It's light. It gets dark. And then it gets light again for a very, very long time. That's a calendar day. Three different stages.
Sounds like some kind of brisker hachira.
No, the briskers wouldn't do this. The briskers are not... This is more too. You know, you break up this night. This is a more of a chassidish type. I think. It's incredible. That's what it says. The Panovich Rav says this is that according to the Yerushalmi, a calendar day involves three segments. It's light outside. Gets dark, pitch black dark for 12 hours. Halachic hours, and then gets light again for another 12 hours. But it's not dark light. It's light turning into dark, dark, and then light. That is because we're including in the Bein Hashmashos period, it's already considered to be the next calendar day, but in Halacha, that same moment in time can be considered Halachic day. So if you have a situation in Halacha, what?
How do you translate all the
Abba Asa? So it depends. That's the calendar date. When the Torah gives you a number in the calendar, it has to be on that calendar date. But then there are areas of halacha where the Torah is not concerned about the calendar. The Torah is concerned about this thing must be done by day. Tzitzis. Uri'isem also. Where the tzitzis when it's day? I don't care about the calendar. I care about the day. Bris Milah, the Torah doesn't care about the day. The Torah cares about the calendar. It must be by Yom Hashmini. This child was born. He was born. They stamped his birth certificate. This was the day he was born. You have to have the Bris Milah on 8 calendar days later. Calendar dates. Karbanos. Doesn't depend on the calendar date. The blood must be sprinkled by halachic day. We generally assume the two cannot be separated, but that's not necessarily true. You have to have an appreciation that Bein Hashmash is a very complex time where you're able to extract from one halacha, it can be called the calendar, for another halacha, it can be called Yom Ulayla. That's one idea. Here's another idea. There is what is called Laila. We entered the period of Bein Hashmash, then we come to Laila, and Laila is when three stars come out. There's a hakir among the Achronim. What does it mean when three stars come? Is three stars a siva or a simon? Now let me give you an example. Let's take a step back. A siva, a cause, or is it just a sign? Let me explain. We have a girl, or the Gemara talks in many instances about a boy. We'll say a boy. A boy is not called bar mitzvah until he has two siros. He has two hairs. What does that mean? Does that mean that the two siros, the two hairs, that is what makes him into an adult? That means it's a siba, it's a cause? Or no? A child physically matures internally. His body changes, his mind develops. When two hairs appear on a child, this is a simon. It is a sign that he has physically and mentally matured into the state of adulthood. So when a child develops two hairs, are the two hairs, these two hairs is the siba. Siba literally means the cause. This is what establishes him as an adult. Or no. The child has become an adult because he has matured. He has reached a certain time in his life where mentally and physically, how can we determine that? There's no way that we can take a microscope and delve into his mind. Well, if he has two hairs, this is a sign that he has matured. Now, l'may nafkamina. Nafkamina will be, let's say we have witnesses who come forward to testify that a child has two hairs. Two witnesses testify about hair number one, and another two witnesses testify about the second hair. So there's a principle in halacha. Al pishnai medim yakum davar, davar v'loy chatzi davar. Each set of witness testimony must say the entire matter. So if we understand that two siros is a siba, is a a cause is the cause. If two witnesses, set number one testifies about one here, and set number two testifies about a second here, each one has only testified about a chatzi davar. It is the two heres which make this child into an adult. Since each set of witnesses are only testifying about half of the siba, that's insufficient. But if we are to understand that a child matures naturally and the two hairs is just a sign that indeed he has matured, then even if two witnesses testify, one set testifies about one here and another set of witnesses testify about the other here, so they're not coming to define the davar, they're just coming to provide us with the simon that he's an adult, so that's sufficient, because the davar is that he is an adult. So if each one brings for us evidence that the simon is true, so we on our own now have enough information that there is a simon, the simon is here, now we automatically know that the davar has been established. There's no violation of al pi shnayim edim yakum davar if the two hears are only a simon that this child has developed into an adult. There is no way to really testify, we just have to have the simonim. So if you testify about one here and you testify about another here, so now we have the complete simon, so now we know that this child is an adult. But if you learn that the hears are the actual davar, it's what makes this child into an adult, then if one set testifies concerning one and the other about the other, each one is only testifying about a chazidah, that would be insufficient. This is a lamna shachakira that the Acharim discussed in great detail when it comes to the shtei sairos of a child. Are the shtei sairos a sibo, or are the shtei sairos a simon? The same exact hakira is true, is discussed when it comes to Bein HaShemashes. We're in a time of Bein HaShemashes, twilight, sun has set, stars have not yet come out. What establishes night? Three stars. Is it that the three stars is the Siba? When you see those three stars, that is the definition of night. That is Laila. Or no? Laila is a tkufa, it comes by itself, and the three stars are just a seed, they're just a simon. They're just a sign that indeed this point of time, at this point in time, the night has already come. And you have the same exact nafkamina. You'll have three sets of witnesses. Set number one testified about this star. Set number two testifies about star number two. And set number three testifies about star number three. So if we are to understand that three stars is a siba, al pi shnayim edim yakum davar, davar lechatzi davar, it's insufficient. But if you learn that the stars are a simon, then once we have three stars, the simon doesn't make a difference if it's comes through different test witnesses. It's only a simon, and once we have the simon on our own, we can establish that the davar has been established. This is another hakira in the Acharon. Let's go to a third. What? What?
I don't think that case could happen.
They'll testify a certain event happened at night, so they have to establish that this event happened at night. At night, so each one, how do you know it was night? Well, there was a star here, there was a star there. It's a very common, I'm sure you figure a long mission case, how it could happen. Let's go to another idea. And this is a very common question when it comes to Bein HaShemashes. What's the suffix? Why don't we say that every Bein HaShemashes has a chazakah? In general halach, we have a shaila. What's the status? Is something tamei or tahar? Something starts out in a state of tahara, and then we have a subject that this thing come into contact with tumah. We do not know. So there's a general rule. We put something on its status quo. If until now, until this point in time, this object was in a state of tahara, and then there is a question mark, we do not know if it changed or not, so we assume that it remained in its status quo. So the question is, why can't we apply that principle to Bein HaShemashes? Why is twilight a time when we are uncertain if it's night or day? We don't know what period this time is. Let's, in halacha, take Bein HaShemashes and put it on its previous status. Until now it was day. So let's go through the entire question mark period. Let's assume it's still halachically day. And all matters of halacha should follow the principle of Hamei Dover Al Cheska. So why don't we do this? So there are a lot of lomish answers. One answer, similarly, and the simplest answer of them all is, only time we say this principle of Hamei Dover Al Cheska is by something which is not meant to change. If you have a piece of food that's tar, and you lock it up in a room, there's no reason to assume anything is going to happen to the piece of food. It's going to remain in a state of tahara forever. The only reason why it would change is if you contaminate it. When it comes to zman, at some point in time it's going to get dark. Just a question, it's going to get dark in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a half an hour, in 60 minutes, it's going to get dark. When you're dealing with something which is osid, lehishtanos, which will change, you do not apply this principle of Hamei Dover Al Cheskoso. The only time you take something and you let it remain in its status quo is when there's no reason why anything should change. But when something is destined to for sure change into something else, then you cannot apply this principle of Chazak, and that's why during this twilight period, which is turning to get darker and darker, we have to ignore the principle of Hamei Dover Al Cheskoso. That's the simplest answer. There's another answer which gets into something which I'm sure is discussed by all the scientists. What is time? Let me give you a look at this from a different angle. We have a piece of meat. The piece of meat, we have a question, is it tameh, is it tahar? Okay, chazak. Until now it was tahar. We have a question, did it come in contact with tumah? Okay, chazak. But will piece of meat A tell us the halacha about piece of meat B? We have in front of us two pieces of meat. Piece of meat A is tar. Now there's a question, piece of meat B. We don't know. The piece of meat B, did it come in contact with tumah? Did it not come in contact with tumah? So let's say, well, we'll compare B to A. Since piece of meat A, nothing happened to it, is tar, we'll assume the same thing is true with piece of meat A. It's nonsense. The only time you apply the principle of Hamei Dover Al Cheskoso is the object itself. This object itself until now was tar. We have a question, did it change status? So we remain in the status quo. But what the status of piece of meat A has no relevance to piece of meat B, because it's a separate piece of meat. So many Farshim want to say that Zman, how do you look at time? This is a very deep concept. Is moments of time, you have a minute. In a minute, we have 60 seconds. Let's break, you have to break up time. Somewhere along, you have to break up time into parts. Is each second viewed as a separate unit, a separate piece of meat, or do we view time to one consecutive zman? It's one hemshah. It's one consecutive. I'm sure in science there are different ways of looking at time. It's time, little blocks of independent units, or it's one continuous span. Now, halacha l'maisa, when it comes to many halachas, we view time as one continuous stretch. What's the simplest example? A bar mitzvah. A boy is born the very end of the day. When does he become bar mitzvah? He becomes bar mitzvah at the beginning of the day. Right, you don't have to wait until me'es le'es. We don't say me'es le'es. So we view, when you come into a tekufa, you're coming into a period where you're already holding. Well, we wait until 13 years in one day, so you can say just the opposite. We require the child to wait until the next day. Okay, we once discussed this idea by bar mitzvah. Are you machmir already the day before me'es le'es? So some are, some are not. The tie that touches upon the same exact issue. The year is over at a 24-hour period of time. So do we say, since you've come into a 24-hour period of time, so we should say the entire day, the last day of that year, you should already become bar mitzvah. Because you're already in the 24-hour period. And since time is one continuous stretch, we should expand. Do we not? It's all part of this issue. If you were to learn that time, every moment is considered to be a separate moment in time, then that answers the question why we don't say by Ben Hashmoshos, Hamei Dover Al Cheskoso. Why not? Because It's like two pieces of meat. Just because piece of meat A is tahar, that has no relevance to piece of meat B. Just because it was day, the last 12 hours, that has no relevance for what's going to be at 6:01. 6:01 is a new slice of time. It's an independent, it's not a continuation of the same piece of meat. So it's a fascinating idea which requires us to define in halacha time. Is time different separate units, or is time... it's time considered to be one continuous stretch. Okay, now one last idea I want to discuss, and I'm going to go through the details. What the Gemara discusses, two opinions of the Zman Ben Hashmashas. The Gemara says the difference between the two opinions, we have two opinions in the Gemara, is a 12th of a mil. The amount of time it talks, the amount of time it takes to walk three, what is Ben Hashmashas? So one opinion says the amount of time it takes to walk 2/3 of a mil. The sun sets, and now there's a period of time of 2/3 of a mil. That is Bein HaShemashes. The second opinion says that Bein HaShemashes is the amount of time it takes to walk 3/4 of a mil. So the Gemara says, what is the difference between 2/3 and 3/4? So simple mathematics, it's a 12th. A twelfth of a mil. Since we're dealing over here with 2/3 of a mil and 3/4 of a mil, the difference between 2/3 and 3/4 is a 12th of a mil. That is the difference in the zman of Bein Hashmashas. Now let's just do some mathematics. How long does it take to walk a complete mil? A mil is 2,000 amos. So it's there's a very big disagreement. According to the Rambam, the Rambam says it takes 24 minutes. What we call 24 minutes is the amount of time it takes to walk 2,000 amos. We don't really know how large is an amma. Is an amma 18 inches? Is an amma 24 inches? How fast does a person walk? Slow, fast, medium? What's the climate? You're walking uphill, downhill? It's very complicated. There are many variables to define what is a mil and how long it takes to walk a mil. The Rambam says the amount of time it takes to walk one mil is 24 minutes. Some disagree. Other Rishonim, some say it takes 18 minutes, some say it takes 20 minutes, some 22 minutes. There are a long list of opinions. Let's work with the sheet of the Rambam that says it takes 24 minutes. What then is the difference between 3/4 of a mil and the amount of 3/4 of 24?
2 minutes.
The difference between is going amount of time it takes between 3/4 and 2/3 is 1/12. So what's 1/12 of 24 minutes? 2 minutes. Okay, so that comes out. The difference between the two opinions presented in the Gemara, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, how long it takes, the difference, it's going to be, the difference is 2 minutes. Okay. The Gra says something very interesting. The Gra asks, how long does it take for the sun, the ball of the sun to rise and the ball of the sun to set? Depends where you are in Hanami. I don't know the calculations. The Gra says, I guess the average, or maybe he was referring to where he lived, it takes exactly, it depends on the time of the year as well, but he says it takes exactly 2 minutes. 2 minutes from the time the sun begins to rise, the first sliver appears, and the entire ball of the sun comes up, and that would mean that it takes exactly 2 minutes from the time that the sun begins to descend. Now let's take a step back. Everyone knows, there's no question in halacha, that zricha, those who daven kivosikin, if you go to a vasikin minyan, when they're making the calculation, when will they begin daven shmoneh esrei, zricha, sunrise in halacha, is when the sun begins to appear. There's no such thing, as far as I know, that Zricha begins after the complete ball is above the horizon. No, Zricha begins when the first tip of the sun appears. That is sunrise. Now, when does Bein Hashmashos begin? So I always assume, in fact, even yesterday, every time Chum Yassai, I was to clarify all these things, that Bein Hashmashos, there's something called Shkia. Shkia is not over, it's still Vadayom, this is the assumption, until the complete ball of the sun goes below the horizon. As long as a little sliver of the sun a little sliver of the sun above the horizon, it's still called Vaday Yom. Certainly it is day. When does the questions begin? The sun has set, and now it's going to take a good 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes until it gets black. But when, as long as it's part of the sun, it's still Yom, just like it's called already sunrise when the sun rises. So I saw in the Daf Aleph that he brings down from very big Talmud Chacham, he wants to make the following suggestion. What is this going on in the Gemara? There's a difference between two opinions, and the difference between them in how long does Ben Hashmoshos extend? And the difference between them is 2 minutes. What's this 2 minutes? Why would there be a significance in 2 minutes more, 2 minutes less? So he wants to suggest that this is all that the difference is when the sun begins to set. Is that also already called Ben Hashmoshes? Maybe the only time you can say in Halacha, it's Vadayom, is when the complete ball of the sun is there. Once the sun already begins, you only have 99% of the sun above the horizon, and you're missing part of the sun, maybe already we could suggest it's no longer Vada Yom. Because what is Yom? Yom is defined by the sun. So the sun has to be fully present. You can't have the sun sleeping on a job. Part of the sun is not here. It's already Bein Hashmoshes. So he puts all these numbers together and wants to make this suggestion. Because we have really more two opinions. And the difference between two opinions is 2 minutes. It's very hard to understand why 2 minutes should make a difference one way or another. They're basically the same. But we also know from the Gra that the amount of time it takes for the sun to set is 2 minutes. And it's also very theoretically logical that the sun is not fully here. Maybe already it should not be called Vadayom. The difference between these two opinions of 3/4 mil and 2/3 mil is when the sun begins to set, is that already beginning of the Zman of Bein Hashmashas. Halach l'maisa, we clearly paskin that it's not. As long as a little sliver of the sun is above the surface, it's certainly called Vadayoyim. But we see from the Gemara, there's a possibility, at least, it makes logical sense, says the Gemara, that according to one opinion, it's already considered already to be Bein Hashmashas, when already the sun already begins to set, because all the numbers fit. All the numbers fit. Perhaps there is some logic to make this machlokes make sense at this point. Okay.